sure appreciate the song service this morning. Everyone that's been at your house, your post of duty, you know. And to me, a song service, and I believe you feel a lot like I do, is a song service is the spirit of the Lord in a song. That's what makes the song service. And I thought we had a tremendous spirit this morning.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, it's God is if he was just God just looked for someone with good singers that would make a song service, it would be well, I would never have a chance. You say amen. You know, for yourself, I thank God that God don't look say you've got to be perfect or I won't come. No, we don't be perfect in ourselves. We just have to abide by his word.
Amen.
And come with the right approach, the right attitude, and he will come right to you. Amen.
Amen.
And I thought the specials were absolutely awesome. And I don't know what Elijah was talking about messing up. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Go to the next song, you know. You say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to say it's so good to see Judy and Taryn. God bless you. And Sister Miriam, got to come spend a little bit of time with her, not a whole lot. And it's just so good to see you guys. I just want y'all to feel welcome. And I want to just go right into the word this morning. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1. And I want to speak to you a thought this morning. God's alignment, God's image. God's alignment, God's image. And let's go to Isaiah 53:1, and she will have these on the multimedia. So, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to thank you for this opportunity to be in this place, Lord. And we just welcome your spirit, Lord. I thank you for the spirit we already feel, Lord. Each one of us come with an expectant heart, Lord, to talk to you today. And Lord, I just ask you that you would fulfill in just every expected heart, Lord. Give them exactly what they come looking for this morning, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's go to another scripture in St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 18. Again, she'll have these on the multimedia. Feel free to turn your Bibles if you like to, but it'll be there. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, the most important thing in this life is revelation, of knowing who you are and where you stand, because when you're guessing on something, you can be talked out of it. Some other things can happen. It can change your mind. But when it's a revelation to you, it can't be changed. You know, and it's the simple way of explaining that is Malachi has a blue shirt on. Would y'all agree with that? Has a blue shirt. Let everyone look at Malachi. Stand up, Malachi. What color is his shirt? It's blue, right? Go ahead and sit down. No, his shirt's really red. Can I talk you into believing that his shirt was red? No. Why? Because you saw it. You saw it with one of your senses. You know, and that's exactly the way faith is. Whenever it's a revelation of faith is another sense, and it's just as real as seeing it with eyes. And that's the importance of revelation. Because if I was to tell you, Malachi's wearing a blue shirt, but he never stood up and you never saw him. But I told you, he's got a blue shirt on. Well, somebody else can come by and say, well, he might have thought it was blue, might have thought it was this, might have thought that, and you could have been talked out of that because you did not see that yourself. But because he stood up and you saw him with your eyeballs, you know his shirt is blue. And that's just as real as revelation is. You know, that's the importance of revelation. That's why whenever you're healed, whenever you see, I am healed, it's just as real as seeing that blue shirt. You know, us being a Christian, you are going to fight battles every day of your life. That's not news to you. You know that. I know that. We are in a battle. We're on a battlefield. Battles are going to keep coming. We're not going to stop, but we will overcome them, come in God's provided way. And I want to read a quote here. It says, shows it's the devil on rampage, but God's church will never fail. I mean, who would agree with the devil's on a rampage?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is on a rampage, and he is attacking us, coming at us. He says, she'll move from victory onto victory until Jesus comes for his bride. Hallelujah. Storms may come, waves may come, but the church of God will remain forever if she's going into it. It's as certain as I'm standing here this afternoon. Amen. looking at these little sparrows laying there, he's talking about seeing the Statue of Liberty. Looking at these little sparrows laying there, I said to the God that was with this, I said, what's the matter with them little birds? He said, they died last night. Said, there was a storm come up, and they was flying right in the storm, and said, they come into the light. Instead of using the light from the Statue of Liberty, said, they come, and they tried to knock the light out. They beat against it with their heads until they beat their brains out, and they're laying there dead because they refused to follow the light. They tried to beat it out. I said, oh God, what an example it is when men and women raising up today, people who are trying to deny God's Bible and Jesus to be the virgin-born Son of God. They're just beating their brains out instead of taking the light, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and dashing on to victory and power and overcoming. They're only beating their heads out. God's church will remain forever. Can you say amen? You know, the word's been given to us for us to be able to navigate, to overcome. But a lot of times the devil will try to get us, rather than using the word to overcome, we will attack that word. So I don't know about that. I ain't so sure about that. I ain't sure about that. The devil will do that, because if you're doing that, rather than using the flashlight where you're trying to go, you're trying to argue with it, whether it's right or not. That's exactly how the devil will fight us. The Bible has never been sent to us, and truth has been never given to us to argue about. And one of the things I think we can all agree on, that theology would tell you about God. But revelation will tell you who God is. Revelation will reveal to you, this is who God is to me, and I know who God is. It's one thing for everybody else to see, to have a revelation about what God is, but it's another thing for you to know yourself. And I want to say something, because I keep seeing like a vision in my mind that keeps coming across over and over. It's like seeing a train station. And when you see into a train station, you have many people that have got bags, they've got suitcases, they've got raincoats perhaps, they've got everything that they need. They're standing in line at a train station. The train's going to come by. If you don't have that ticket in your hand, even though you're at the train station, even though you've got the bags, even though you've got the raincoat on, if you don't have the token, you're getting left behind. And that's just as real as the rapture. Yeah. You know, we go to church, we can have all the things, we can go through the motions of life of saying, I'm a believer, I've got this, brother and sister. At the end of the day, it don't matter how much you can talk about that city on the other side. If you don't have a token in your hand, you're not going to get on the train. You're going to miss it. And knowing that in the days of Noah's ark, there were 8 souls that got on the ark. It doesn't say 8 souls and the children. 8 souls got on the ark. And brother and sister, that's just as real as the rapture. It's rapture morning. Your little ones are counting on mama and daddy to make sure that blood is applied. Amen. They're counting on mama and daddy. Do you have the token? Are we ready? I've got the bags. You got the bags. But do we have the token? We go to church. We're going to church. But do you have the token? We know about the message. We know about the prophet. You know about the message. You know about the prophet. But do we have the token? Amen. It's the most important thing that we need in this life. As a husband and a wife, my wife is counting on me. And I'm counting on my wife that we work together to hold the token. Because God has given us the provisions of how to keep safety in our home. You know, I'm reminded, just real quickly, tell you about the story that I'm sure we've all heard about. But the man that said, I don't need a God, going into the mountains. I don't need a God. I know just as much about the wilderness as anybody else. I don't need a God. But when you have a God is responsible for you, because he'll take your social security number and all these things. And as long as you put your confidence in that God and you listen to what that God says, that God is responsible for you. But if you don't listen to what the God is telling you, your blood is on your own hands. And this man said, I don't need a God. I'm just as good. I know the woods just as good as you are. I've got the same fundamental ability just as you do. I can think for myself. I don't need a God. The man took his child up in the mountains, but he didn't realize is the weather can change like that. Things can happen. How many knows life can change just like that? Literally, we ate breakfast together. We just like we normally do. We drank coffee together just like we normally do. We use just like any other day. died of a heart attack. You had nothing to warn you that this was going to take place, but just like that, it was over. Life can change in an instant. And this man, he said, I don't need a God. I've got the same ability as anybody else. I can go. He takes his child up there, and the weather changed so fast, he didn't even know what to do, even think about. And here he was, sitting under a tree, holding his child, trying to keep his child warm, and his child froze to death right in his arms. But God was available all the time. And listen to me, the rapture, the day after the rapture, the moments after the rapture, brother, sister, there are going to be so many people that sat there and knew, I got the God available, I got the truth available. The preacher's been telling me over and over and over and over and over, and I overrid that voice. And now I've got to tell my child, we have missed the rapture. This is a reality. Yeah. Listen to what Brother Daniel's saying to you this morning. This is a reality that is going to happen. It's going. Not might, not possibility. It is going to happen. There are going to be many, many families that are going to know we have missed the rapture. Yeah. What would you do? Remember Brother Miller, James Miller, he's a wonderful brother. And I'm trying to get back to my text in just a moment. He's the first brother I went overseas with. His first brother I ever did interpretation. He interpreted for me. Bless his heart. He and I were talking about sometimes in life, you go down a certain road and you can turn around. You may lose some time on the trip, but you can get back on track. There's many things in life that you can do that. He said, but Brother Daniel, here I am in this chair. He said, and I'm not saying God can't help me. He said, I believe it every day that God's going to help me. He said, but my mind has thought, what do I do? There is no other turn. The only thing I can do is keep moving forward. Amen. And that's a reality for my brother James Bill, and I believe with him that God will raise him up. I believe with him. Amen. But listen to me, brother, sister, life is just like that. There's sometimes you can't control the circumstances that come at you. It hits you straight in the face, completely unexpected. What do I do? How do I turn around? You can't. You wish to God that you can. It's like, God, what can I do to change this? Because I do not want to face this. There's sometimes in this last thing you're confronted with something. It's like, why? Why did this happen? I don't know. But one thing I do know, keep moving forward. And yet you might feel like, I don't feel God. I don't see God. I don't know what to do. I can't do a thing anymore. Keep moving forward. You walk in the best of your ability of what you know to be the truth, and you leave the rest to God and say, because the worst thing we can ever do is try to figure it out. Why? Why did this happen to me? Listen to me. The Church of the Living God is going to fight battles the whole way, all the way there. But listen to me. We're going to make it. Not because of me, despite of me. Most of my victories I have in this life is despite me. Because I would do everything in the world to mess it up. But God, by his grace, will still keep picking me forward and put me back on track.
Amen.
We're talking about, who do they say that I am? But I want to ask you, who do you say that he is? Theology can talk to you about this is somebody that got healed, this is how they got healed, this is how they did. That's theology. It's a different thing when it's a revelation to you, and this is how I got healed. This is how somebody else got saved. This is how they did that. This is how I got saved. I realize, understand, the prophet said that we were saved before the foundation of the world. You had to come to terms with that. It's so important that we realize that only God can reveal the arm. The definition of theology is the study of religious faith, practice, and experience. The definition of revelation, this is according to Webster, is the act of revealing or communicating divine truth. Something that is revealed by God to humans. Theology is to know about God and revelation is to know God. And it's so important to remember that any doctrine that we have, it must agree with all Scripture. Say amen. It's our high post. It is our absolute. In Titus 15 and 16, it says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." There are so many people that are living by theology alone, and it causes them to live like there is no God. It's so easy to live like there is a God when you're going good. But whenever you're under the warfare, it's so easy to live. You find yourself, "I'm living like there's no God. There's a God that's with me, no matter what I'm going through." And if there is a God, that we should be drawing ourselves to that God. Can you say amen? We should be drawing closer to that. Listen to me. It's so important. We can ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Am I walking by theology? Because remember, theology is what you know about something. Okay. Am I walking by theology? Or am I walking by a revelation that I know who my God is? I know who my Savior is. I fellowship with him. Amen. Okay. St. John 17, verses 1 through 3. Says, "These things spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." If you look at that word glorify, it actually comes from the word doxazo, D-O-X-A-Z-O, spell it. It means to render glorious in a wide application. It means to glorify, to put in full glory. It means to honor. It means to magnify. So Jesus is saying, and let me say it this way, Jesus is saying, "Magnify thy Son, that thy Son may magnify thee." And that's my sense in prayer today, is Lord, magnify yourself, that I can magnify you. Because if he will magnify himself inside me, my life will magnify him.
Amen.
But see, if we're walking by theology alone, that's not magnifying the Lord. That's magnifying what we know about something. And that God does not get the glory for that. If you do anything in your own ability, you're getting the glory for yourself. If Samson would have been 7 foot tall, full of muscle, and doing all these great things in his life, and looked like a great, tremendous athlete, he would have gotten the glory by ripping the gates off the city and slaying all the soldiers, because they'd have been looking at himself, because it, well, no wonder Samson did it. Look how big he is. Look how muscular he is. But Samson was a little bitty man, from what we've been told. Looked like a little bitty sissy, but looked like somebody there was nothing to. And that little bitty guy, and when that guy rips the gates off the city, that's where God gets the glory, because this man can't do that. Yeah. Only God can do that. If David would have been a huge man killing Goliath, it wouldn't have been a big thing. If Saul would have been the one that killed Goliath, everyone said, "Yeah, of course Saul did. Look how big he is. Broad shoulders, head above man. Look at the shoulders above man. Look at this guy. It's no wonder Saul did it. It wasn't Saul that did it. It was David that did it."
Amen.
And so many times, God will allow us to get beaten down to a place to where we are so little, we are so weak, we're so small, we don't have anything that we offer. And then God will put his blessing upon us, and then we'll slay our giant. And then God gets glorified. So why do we go through trials sometimes? It's because God wants to be glorified through your life through trial. Sometimes when you're so beat down, I got nothing left to offer. That's right. That's the perfect time for God now to use you. Because God can put his anointing upon your life. And then when you rip the gates off the city, when you have absolutely no strength left. Because God gets all the glory from it. Amen? So that's my prayer. Lord, glorify your Son in me. Elijah, can you do me a favor? Bring me a paper towel. Just a small. Let's go to St. John 17, verses 14 through 24. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone. And I always take comfort in this scripture. I remember the first time I ever read this, I was like 19 years old, 18, when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I was going through a heavy trial. And I said, I wish I had somebody that could pray for me. And then I read this scripture, and I realized that he was praying for me. Jesus says, neither pray for I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them, and has loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Catch what he's saying here. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus would say, Lord, help them to see me in the position that you have called me to. Because whenever they can see me and behold me in the position you have called me to, they can glorify your name. You see how important it is that we walk by revelation, that we see who God is. Because whenever we see who God is and see him in the revelation, where we have the same love that was in Jesus is in our hearts, it's the love inside of us that causes us to live the way that we do. Can you say amen? Like if I was to go overseas and I said, no, did you like? When I go over here, overseas, thou shalt not have any other husbands. Thou shalt not be doing anything. And don't you be letting any other man mess with my shovel. Don't be letting any other man sit on my couch. Well, I guess you come over for fellowship. That'd be fine. But you know what? Thou shalt not let any other man give you flowers. Thou shalt not be doing this. What kind of relationship would that be? And the same thing, vice versa, if I was to go overseas and she's like, Mr. Daniel, let me tell you something. When you go over there, thou shalt not have any other wives. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. We can work according to the laws of that being right. But what kind of relationship would that be? That's not a relationship. It's a love that we have one for another. And because we love one another, it causes us to do works automatically. She's not going to have any husbands because she loves me. I'm not going to have any of the women because I love her. But at the same time, God forbid that it would ever happen. But if I was to go overseas and I was to fall somehow and just got caught in a trick moment, I don't know how it would happen. I'd say, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know how it happened, but I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. And it would absolutely shatter her heart. And I would never do that because she's my sweetheart and I love her so much. And she loves me so much. But if I was to make a mistake, I believe she'd forgive me because she loves me. Though I would never do it. Listen, brothers, that's the same way with it is being a Christian. We there's something we don't want to do because we don't want to offend who God is. We love him so much that we don't want to hurt him. But if we do, though it would break his heart, I believe God forgives us. Amen. Listen to me, I believe with all my heart that is, we are the bride of Christ. And if you're the bride of Christ, that is the love that you have for God. Can you say amen? It's not about do's and don'ts and laws. Because you know what? The devil will try to get you to do that. And because you know why the devil will want to get you to do that? I don't think we have to dress like this. I don't think it matters about this. You know why the devil will do that? Because he wants you to peck at the light. And all you're doing is sitting there pecking at the light until you kill yourself. Whatever, we need to take the light and navigate with it. Amen. On a daily basis to where we are gaining ground. Our experience with God. I've seen so many couples that they are years down the road, and they are, you think they were dating still as much as they fight and argue and bicker at one another. Listen to me, bickering and fighting has no place in a Christian home, in any home. The devil will try to bring the bickering and the fighting because whenever he can do that, he can grieve the Holy Spirit, and God can't talk to you the way God wants to talk to you. We have got to have an habitation in our home that God is so pleased to dwell in. That way, when God comes down in the evening, you can feel the fog come down. You can, not that you can see it tangibly, but I'm just telling you, I'm just testifying from my own experience, okay? Whenever you keep things right in the home, His presence will come down just like that, just a fog. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Cherish that. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and here He is. Sometimes it's 12 in the morning, 1 in the morning, here He is. He will drop down, and when He drops down like that, brother and sister, take notice of that.
Amen.
Think about the reality of what this is. Don't allow that to become common to you. We are literally talking about something that the world knows nothing about. It is a holy God that literally comes to your house or your car or wherever you're at. He is a living God that's coming down and allows you to feel His presence.
Amen.
Think of it. If Donald Trump was to come to my house, it'd be an honor for me. I'd shake his hand. I think I'd say, thank you for what you've done. Man's not perfect. Man needs a Savior just like everybody else. But I would make sure the grass was cut. You know, I'd want to keep things right. I'd want to make sure the dishes are clean. I want these things to be right. Why? Donald Trump is coming to the house. I want him to feel special. I want him to feel welcome. You know, I would make sure we got some fried chicken because my wife can cook the best of the best fried chicken. I would want things to be right and in order. Wow, the president's coming. I just said that, didn't I? I didn't mean to. But he was president. Donald Trump's coming. We got to make sure things are right. Why? Because he's coming. Let's make sure things are in order. If I would do that for a president of the United States, how much more preparation should we give for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords?
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming to the house. He's make sure everything's right because I don't want anything to offend him.
Amen.
Nothing to offend him. Because he is worthy of my praise, brother and sister. And if we will acknowledge that, if God wants to, someone comes knocking at a door, listen to what I'm saying here. And I'm trying to stay with my nose, but I feel the Lord keep going down this route. If someone comes knocking at your door, it's because they've got something they want to say to you. If somebody knocks at your door, it's not just doing like when I was a little kid, I used to knock on doors and take off running. You kids don't ever do that. But I used to do that. I'd knock on a door when I go running. I'd be like, hey. I kept doing that over and over. And next thing I knew, I'm like, hey, and he grabbed me by the neck. He was waiting on me. I didn't do it no more. If somebody knocks on your door, it's because he's wanting to tell you something. He's trying to communicate with you. And you can see something like that in the physical. Somebody knocks on the door, I need to go answer because someone's trying to talk to me. Listen to me. When the presence of God comes down in those moments, God is knocking at your door. That is God saying, I've got to talk to you about something. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your buddy. I want to be your God. Could you imagine that? A God that wants to be your buddy. A God that wants to be your friend. Listen to me, little people. God wants to be your buddy. God wants to talk to you. You'll have moments where the presence of God will come down and you'll start thinking about God. What is that? That is God knocking on your heart. And He'll knock, and the only person that can let Him in when He knocks is you.
Amen.
We're familiar with the story about the man that had the painting of Jesus standing at a door, knocking at a door, and there's no doorknob on the door, and the critics were looking at it and saying, there's a mess up on the painting. There's no doorknob on the door. He said, oh, but the doorknob's on the inside. And the only person that can let him in is the person he's knocking on. And listen what I'm saying. When that presence comes down in your life, and in that midst, the only person that can allow him in is you. What's God doing? He's wanting to give you a token.
Amen.
He He's wanted to give you a way of escape. Mm-hmm. Not just for the rapture. It's for escapes, for trials right here, right now. There are so many trials that we have in this life right now that we could have avoided the trial if we would have listened and took the token.
Amen.
Amen. And there's some trials you're going to face. Got to. Amen. You've got to go through them. It was never intended for man to just live by a bunch of rules, but for man to be brought back into fellowship with God. Amen. Jesus said, only the ones the Father had given him will see the truth. And they are sanctified by the truth that they can see. I want you to listen to this quote. He says, how about the Pharisees and Sadducees? How about every age? He's done it, sure. He's done so in every age. Now, we could check that. Let's think about the days of Noah, smart, intellectual age, how he hid himself in his promised word. In the days of Moses, how he hid himself in the days of Elijah, how he hid himself. In the days of Jesus, how he hid himself. He is in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He come to his own received him not. See? He hides himself from the smartest intellectual man here on the earth. You say, well, this Dr. Holy so-and-so, I don't care who he is, God hides himself from him and he will reveal it to babies that will learn. See, babies of God, predestinated seed. Think, the mighty God saying in his own words, blinding the smart, educated people of this present age, and they don't see it. They think it's just a bunch of fanaticism. Look at him standing there hiding to Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. Let me say this. Message. Reveal himself right out publicly and showing all kinds of things, even putting it in the papers and things like that, yet they don't see it. Oh, our God, how great, revealing himself to whomever he will. Oh, you say, Brother Jones or Brother so-and-so, he's a great man. He'll see it. Oh, no. He reveals it to whom he will. Say, my wife don't see it, and she's a Christian woman. He reveals it to whom he will. Well, my pastor's a great man. That's right. But he reveals it to himself to whom he will. Now, check with that's what's been revealed to what's happening, and you can quite understand. You understand what he's saying here? This person's a great man. They'll see it. Only if God reveals it to him. This pastor will see it. Surely he's a great man. Only if God will show it to him. Do you see how important the grace of God is? For you to be able to see the truth, brother and sister, it's because the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you, and we should cherish that. Because there's some people that just can't see it. I'm not saying they won't be saved. I'm telling you what, the rapture is going to be so few of people, brother and sister, the world will know nothing about it. This message has been given to get a bride ready for a rapture. And the church will know nothing about it. They will continue to go to church. They'll continue to do service. They'll continue to do things, doing the programs. And it's not just in denomination church. It's in message churches too. There's going to be so, I believe this with all my heart, there's going to be so few that go in the rapture they won't even know it. If the rapture happened on Sunday, there'd be many and wouldn't even know until the following Sunday because people were missing in church. It's the reality that we need to be walking with God, holding our ticket in our hand, not out of fear, but out of a love and a fellowship, because he's brought us into a fellowship with him where we can talk with him, we can speak to him, he can reveal himself to him. I'm telling you from an experience. I'm not talking about something like a theology. I'm talking to you from a personal revelation that I know in myself. I know what it is to walk with God. I know. I'm not telling you something that's some kind of fake something that you can never attain. I'm telling you, you can have this. God wants to talk to you. Amen. And the way God does that is just like I told you. I'm trying to give it in the simplest terms I know how. It's when that presence comes down, listen to what that, because that is a knock at your heart. And whenever you listen to that, listen to what I'm saying. If you take the word during those times, listen to a tape. During those times, because that anointing is there during that moment right there, and you begin to see things. Things will start lining up. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my gosh, I've been looking at the same scripture, never seen it, and now it's all I can see. Why? It's a revelation.
Amen.
It's a revelation to you, and you can see that. There are sometimes, listen to what Daniel say it to you. It's so important. There'll be sometimes a sermon will come to your mind, and listen to a sermon, and you know what I'm talking about. It'll come to you, and I'm going to listen to it later on, and you will never listen to it. Later on, it'll come down, this, a thought will come to you of a certain sermon, and you know what it is, and you go listen to that sermon, and you won't listen to it. If you'll be instant with that when that comes, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna listen to this sermon, and you listen to that, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed.
Amen.
What is it? It's a deep call to the deep.
Amen.
There's a hunger inside you for a move of God, for an act of faith in your life. You got a hunger for it, but you have to do the right thing. You can have a hunger for vitamin C, but guess what? If you don't eat the vitamin C, you'll never get it, even though you're hungering for it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to work with the hunger. You can't just have the hunger and say, praise God, I got a hunger for a rapture. I'm going to have a rapture. No, if you've got a hunger for a rapture, you've got to feed the hunger. And there's only one thing that can feed the hunger for a rapture, and that is a present word, a revelation of Jesus Christ on a daily basis.
Amen.
You've got a hunger for word, God will give you the word. You got a hunger for the word, God will give you the word. You know what I'm talking about this morning? God will give you the hunger for a revelation. God will give you a hunger for a rapture. I believe Enoch had a hunger for a rapture. He probably didn't even realize it already. All he knew is that I got this feeling on the inside of me. I got to walk with God. I got a feeling. I got something inside of me. And guess what? Enoch walked with God. And because he walked with God, I'm going to tell you something. Don't aim big. Aim small. Don't aim, I'm going to hit a rapture. I'm going to walk with God.
Amen.
Aim small. Hit small. Don't aim for the whole turkey. Aim for that little sweet spot on the turkey. Don't aim for the whole deer. I'm going to blow him to pieces. Look at those points on that buck. Oh, I want to aim at the deer. You're going to miss it too. But if you look at him, focus, aim small, hit small. You aim right there where you're, Brother Matthew, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you hunters, you know what I'm talking about. There's a little sweet spot. It's not the tail. Right? There's a spot on that deer where I need to be aiming at. And when you're focusing on that, you're going to kill the deer. Long as your sights are right, long as you're steady, long as the wind's right, there's all kinds of variables, ain't there? So many times you'll hear a hunter say, I should have killed it. I should have shot it. There's no reason that thing ain't dead. Or many times you'll say, I killed it, but it went across the field and somebody got it in their truck. It was a 27-point buck. You know, you missed the deer, killed it. What Brother Daniel's trying to say to you is aim small. Don't aim for a rapture. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't aim for just, I'm going to go for a rapture. You aim for walking with God. You aim for fellowshipping with God, talking with Him, fellowship with Him, talking with Him, fellowship with Him, talking with Him. Because guess what? When you're doing that, you're automatically going to start feeding on the tapes. You're automatically going to be feeding on the Word. Why? Because I'm fellowshipping with God. But if you put your focus on, I'm going to read my Bible, read my Bible, read my Bible. Then don't wrong. That's good. Read your Bible every day. Absolutely. Read your Bible every day. There's many people that read their Bible every day and quote and everything, but they don't know a thing about God. They talk all about it, about God, but they don't know God. Because listen to me, our theology, if it ever contradicts who God is, our theology is wrong. And listen to me, if your theology is where you look down on everybody and they're wrong and I'm right, there's something wrong. Because there's only one that's right. That's Him.
Amen.
Amen. If we ever get that out of base, we have missed it. We've got to go back to the altar ourselves and realize, you know what? I have victory despite of who I am because of God. God's the only reason I am who I am. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then I need the grace of God every day.
Amen.
In the days of Noah, it was 8 souls that got in the ark. In the days of Moses, he had to deal with Dathan and Korah. You take too much upon yourself, Moses. You're not the only holy one. God was glorified in Moses, but the world could not see it. In the days of Elijah, the widow of Zarephath and her son honored him. I want to try to bring this thought into reality to you. The widow of Zarephath was a woman, I believe with all my heart, she was trying to serve God the best as she possibly could. And remember, the prophet brought the famine upon the earth. The same prophet is the one that came to help. I always thought that was something. Yeah. This woman was a widow of Zarephath. This was a reality that this was a woman that was trying to serve God the best of her ability. And this trial come at her. She didn't ask for it. It come to her.
This trial come to her, and she was trying to feed, trying to had a barrel of meal, and she was trying to take a little bit each day to try to feed her child, try to get through this trial, try to get through this trial. And when she was going through this trial, they were going to eat their last meal. This was a woman that had seen her child starving to death. If there was ever a person that had opportunity to be angry with God, it would have been this woman. How many times there's been times in your life where you have opportunity to be angry with God? The devil will try so hard. He's done it to me. When my dad passed away, the way the circumstance happened of it, listen to me, I was angry. I was so angry. Here I was standing outside the hospital, and I wanted to be the last moments with my dad. That's all I wanted. I wanted to hold his hand. I wanted to be there with him. And here I was outside the hospital, and they would not allow me in because of their stinking rules. And when they finally said, you can't come in until this time, and I finally get through the time, and I tried to get up there as fast as I could, they said, if you'd have been here maybe 5 minutes ago, you could have been with me. And I was out there for over an hour from the front. The devil, he brought that to me, and after my dad passed away, I was on my knees. I was angry. I was so angry. I was on my knees, and I was just thinking, if I could have just been with my dad. And my dad, they said that your dad, he just kept looking at the clock. For some reason, he kept looking at the clock, because the day before, I said, Daddy, I will be here. I will be here. And here I was outside the door. I just wanted to be with him. That stinking devil gave me opportunity to be angry. I was so mad. There'll be opportunities for you to be angry. And here this woman was, seeing her child day after day after day, without a doubt, saying, God, feed my baby. God, provide. I've been faithful with my tithe. I've been faithful with my offering. God, help me. I've got this need. God, I need your help. And day by day by day by day, seeing her child getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And she's going to make her last meal. And here come a prophet. He says, make me a cake. If there was ever a woman that had opportunity to say, you're the little hoodlum that caused this in the first place. You're the one that called for the famine. She could have been angry, but she said, I've only got enough for me and my child to eat one last meal. I said, make me a cake first. And she honored what he had said. And her meal never went dry again. Listen to me, sometimes it's in the midst, without a doubt, of the midst whenever you are so angry. But there come an opportunity to come by. Don't peck at the light. Don't be angry at the light. Say, why did this happen? Why did this circumstance happen? Why did this happen? Because the devil will try to get you to do that. He'll try to get you to peck at the light, peck the light, peck the light, and sit there and die. Kill yourself. She could have done that. She could have pecked at the light of the prophet and said, you did this, you caused this, you caused this, and let her son die right there. But instead, she used the light that was given her. She honored it and said yes. And she put it first, and God fed the child. I pray this is making sense to you.
Amen.
Don't peck at the light. Don't get angry at it. Say, God, I don't understand why this happened, but I'm going to use it.
Amen.
This woman recognized it was the presence of God. She didn't realize it wasn't an audible. It was a presence that came down. It was a man that walked by. And there was something inside her that saw, this is God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed by Shunem, there was a great woman. Can you imagine the Bible calling you a great woman? She constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he come thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And
And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it be for, done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. He said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child, and her husband is old. He said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door. She stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. All I can say is, wow. This was a woman that had enough character inside her that she saw this is a holy man of God that's walking by. And you got to get your eyes off the man and look on God. Because it was God being glorified in a man. Not the man being glorified. It's God. And this woman looked and she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God walking by. And there was something inside her that said, I want to respect this. I want him to be close by me. And what does she do? Listen to what I'm saying, friends. She did all that was within her to make him feel welcome in her house. She gave him bread. She gave him a bed, wanting him to rest. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit wants a place to rest. Spirits will walk in dry places until they find rest. You know, Jesus would cast the spirit out of a man. He'd walk in dry places, and because he finds no place of rest, he comes back to that house with seven times more worse than he was before. Because a spirit needs a place to rest. And listen to me, the Holy Ghost needs a place to rest. And this woman, she said, I want to put a bed here. I want to put a candlestick. Such good typology. I want to put a candlestick here in the house. I want to put bread here in the house because I want it to be when he walks by, I want him to feel welcome here. I want him to come. I want him to rest here. And because she did that, listen to me, this woman was a woman that never had a child. She wanted the life. She wanted something of an experience. Think spiritual with me. She wanted a birth. She wanted a life. She wanted something to come forth that she never experienced. Here I am, an old woman, and I've never had a birth. I'm an old woman. I've never had this experience. So what did she do? She acknowledged, this is God. This is God in my midst. And she honored that. Because she honored that, she made it where he come and gave her birth. I love her voice. I can't help but hearing her voice. God, forgive me if I say it wrong, but I believe it's... God has ways of showing me stuff, right? And if I'm wrong, the Lord forgive me. But you ever seen the movie Flywheel? You know the woman where he says, this has been easy, going and giving money back because he stole the money from everybody, from the car deals. And he go back and he told his wife, he said, this has been easy. This is wonderful. Then he went to the next house and she said, you stole what? You took my money? You stole from me? The little black woman. Let me know what I'm talking about. She was a stern black woman. You stole from me? You stole from me? You did this? I believe that was that woman. I believe that was the kind of stern. He said, I'm going to give you a child. She said, but listen, don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to me. Don't you be telling me promises if you ain't going to fulfill. Stern. Imagine that prophet saying, you're going to have a child. Don't you lie to me. Don't you be telling me promises if you ain't going to honor the promises. And that's exactly how we need to be towards God, brother and sister. When he's like, don't you show me promises in this word if you're not going to honor your promises. God wants you to take him at his word. God wants you to be stern with him. God wants you. Now, I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about being bold and knowing who you are.
Amen.
You know, the man that came to Jesus, he said, I've got lots of men that are under me. If I say go, they go. So you don't have to come to my house. Just all you got to do is speak the word, Jesus. If you say it, it's done. Let me know the story I'm talking about. His man was sick, and he went before Jesus for his band. He said, I'll come here. You don't have to go to my house. Just speak the word. Listen to me. That's the sternness that we need, that the promise says. If it says it, we need to take him at his word. He said it. God, your word says that you're going to meet my financial need, and I'll meet the need.
live like a silly something else. You got to be a good steward. If you need healing, you need to take God at his word and say, God, your word says I can be healed. Your word says by his stripes I'm healed. I want the promise.
Amen.
I want the word. No matter what you're, because you know what? There's sometimes God will allow a trial to come before you. Why is God allowing it? So you will use the word to overcome that trial.
Amen.
Amen. You say, in order to be a boxing champion, guess what? You've got to fight a boxer. Amen. For me to overcome cigarettes, that means I've got to fight that battle. I can't say I have not overcome cigarettes because I've never been tempted by it. I don't remember. There's people in this building that were cigarette smokers. Were. There's people here that used to be porn addicts. Were. People here in this building that used to drink alcohol. Used to. We're no longer that person. You are projecting an image of that person, but that is not who you are. You are an overcomer. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. We got to come to God's alignment. But God says that I am. We got to come to the image that God says that I am. Amen? In ourselves, sometimes we project something else. In ourselves, we project a defeated person. In ourselves, we project something different. But God's promise says, my word is not changed.
Amen.
You are wheat, and you will bear wheat.
Amen.
In spite of you. In spite of you being so rebellious. You think about it, Jonah. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Go. He deliberately disobeyed God. Deliberately. God told him, you go here. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm going this way. He paid for his fare, and you look what happened. He got on the boat, and here comes the waves, and he said, they cast their lots. Hey, it's me. I'm the one that caused the problem. And many times, that's the best thing we can ever do. Is, you know what? I'm the one causing the problems in the house.
Right.
Listen to what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. If you walk in sin in your life, you will bring turmoil in your own house, and your own family will suffer because of your own stinking rebellion. Here he was. These other sailors, without a doubt, they weren't Christian. They weren't singing "Kumbaya" on that ship going through there. I believe it's all, without a doubt, they're probably using foul language and all kinds of things. But that wasn't what was causing the wreck on the ship. What was going to cause the wreck on the ship? It was a son of God walking in iniquity. And because God will not let his son and daughter get away with it. There's some kids who can get by with doing certain things, and I'm not going to do anything about it. You know why? They're not my kids. But you let my kids do it, I'm going to whip your hind end because I love you. If I see you going down the ocean, I'm going to rip your arm off if I have to because I love you. I felt that so powerful ago. There's many times people will walk in sin, rebellion, and they ain't even trying to serve God, and things will go perfectly fine. They're going. But yet you try to do that. And you watch what happens. What is it? Because God is not going to allow you to defile his name.
Amen.
God's got a target for you.
Amen.
We have to aim small and hit small. God already knows the target. You're going to hit it. Despite you. Despite. Because God will allow us sometimes. God will allow trials to come. I'm preaching to Brother Daniel. I'm telling you what. I'm just. You imagine a guy whipping some whip on himself. I'm just doing it all over. I'm telling you, brother and sister, the word, when God despite us, he's going to get us to our victory.
Amen.
He's going to get us there. But you know what? We have to say, Lord, I'm tired of doing the hard way. I'm tired of doing it this way. I'm tired. I'm the way of the transgressor is hard.
Okay.
But if you were to say, God, I'm ready to rest.
Amen.
Jonah, even though he was trying to willfully disobey God, look what God did, causing, and you know the Nineveh worshipped a fish. And here he calls the whale to come spit the prophet out. You know the story. I say all this to say there's many times, even though our rebellion, God will use your rebellion. All things work together for the good to they that love God and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
There's many times I've looked in my life where I was openly rebelling against God, and when God used that circumstance, it made it 10 times better than it would have been. I don't care if I say that. I don't want to say better than if I'd obeyed in the first place, you know. You know what I'm saying? There's sometimes in this life, you've got an image that everything is absolutely perfect. You could take Bob Ross. Everybody knows I love Bob. Happy trees.
let's give him some friends. You know what I'm talking about. I see you smiling. You know what I'm talking about. He'd always say, I always like that noise. I'm like, yeah, me too. He'd be painting that painting. He'd say, let's give him some friends. He'd paint that little pine tree beside there. And just, I'm talking, it's absolutely perfect. You can take that painting right then, finished, put it on the wall in its perfection. Well, what's he do? He takes a big smear of brown paint and smears all across the page. And like, it's ruined. It was so perfect. And now it's ruined. But see, the author is still in control. The artist knows what's going on. And there's some time, brother and sister, in our life, it looks like it's just over. I've wrecked it. My ship is going down. I have blew it. It's done. The artist has not lost control of your life. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly how to get you to the same target, the same place, the same time. Mm-hmm. And Bob would take the thing, and he'd start adding some colors. And next thing you know, he has transformed this thing into the prettiest cabin that you've ever seen in the midst of this beautiful painting. And it's 10 times more beautiful than what it was before, because now it's got more substance to it. So listen to me, there's some things in this life I don't understand why in the world it happened, and we won't know until we get on that other side. That's where you just got to trust him. The greatest thing that we can do is trust God. I trust God. I trust you, Lord. I give my life to you. I trust you. The hardest thing for, I can't imagine being a woman. Could you imagine being a woman? You're going to have to marry this guy. Trust him that he's going to be a good headship to me. That he's going to be a provider for me. He's going to hold the standard for me. That he's going to be a man. Could you imagine being the woman and you're going to trust in that guy? I'm talking about me. But the greatest thing a woman can do is put trust in him. And be a helpmate. I'm listen to what I'm saying. Be a helpmate to that man, and you've got the abilities and the potential inside you to draw characteristics out of that man that he could not do by himself. He needs you to make him one. He needs you to he needs you to make him the man that's already there, but just got to be manifested. And listen, that's the way it is with God, brother, sister, with the bride of Jesus Christ. There are characteristics inside God that nobody can draw out of him other than his bride. Because we will believe him like nobody else. The greatest thing a wife could ever do for her husband is believe in him. I believe in you. I believe in your name. I believe in what you stand for. I believe in what you're going. I am your helpmate. I want to serve you. I want to bear the right image of who you are. Because listen to me, a man has got a name. His name is who he is. It's everything that he represents. And a woman that will take that and bear it, she truly embraces that name, she will bear who he is. She won't go out trying to make her own name, her own ideas, her own opinions, her own doctrines. She won't do that. She says, I want your name because I'm marrying you. I love you. I trust you that you're going to be the man that I have married. You're going to be the man who I'm seeing, the one I'm beholding. And through her life, she will behold the image of her husband.
Amen.
And as life goes on, as the husband grows into maturity, she will grow in the maturity of everything. As he grows, she'll grow. You say amen? But God has already grown. God, but our revelation of him, as our revelation grows of who God is, our image that we're projecting will grow also. It's what we're beholding. It's what we need to behold. The beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
Because you know, we're not looking at him as some third party or somebody. We're looking at him as I am his wife. I want to look at God as I am the bride of Jesus Christ, and I want to bear his image of who he is. I don't want to go out and put a different representation of who he is. Could you imagine my wife going out and living a different life than what I stand for? It's a hypocrite. Listen to me, and for our people to try to live a different life like you don't have a husband, it's a hypocrite. We don't want to be that. I want to be true to his name. Amen. Not because of laws, not because of that, but because I love him.
Amen.
And listen to me, and then during the trials, it's because I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is hard. Mm-hmm. Been married for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up.
getting better, yeah. Next year's gonna be hard. Marriage is hard. It's not easy. It's hard. Listen to me. To be a Christian soldier, a faithful Christian soldier, it's hard. You say, Bo, didn't do any hard to me. Yeah, you ain't soldiering then. Time to soldier up. We got a sign that says, cowboy up. We need some signs that says soldier up. Because you know what? When you're really being a soldier, you're fighting battles. You're going through trials. But listen to me. You've got to keep your eyes on the purpose. Keep your eyes on the mission of what my purpose of the mission is. Amen? I'm a Christian soldier, and I want to bear his name. I want to show faithfully that my husband, my Lord, my God, he is good.
Amen.
He is faithful. He's Amen. A provider. He's a healer. He's a savior. I'm not talking about walking about a theology idea of what this is what a husband. I'm talking about an experience. I am married to the Lord.
Amen.
Who do you say that he is? See, we need to bring ourselves in alignment to who he is. It's God's alignment. It's God's image.
Amen.
And a lot of times his ideas are completely different than ours. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. That same woman I was talking about earlier, God gave her the child. She said, don't you lie to me. We know that because of time, I won't read the scriptures, but we know that that son died. He said, my head, and that child died. And that stern woman said, let's go see the prophet. Tells God, how's it going? He said, is everything well? She said, all's well. Listen, there's some times when things are going wrong and you don't know what to do, go back to the Word.
Amen.
Go ahead and let the musicians come forward. When you come before them, sometimes you go to circumstances where I don't understand why in the world I'm facing what I'm facing. Go to Him.
Amen.
Go to God and say, it is well.
Amen.
Because you trust Him. Whenever you don't feel good and you need God to heal you, trust Him.
Amen.
You say, God, I trust you. Your Word says, I fail my wife utterly whenever she'll say, hey, do this, get this clean, do this. I'll do my best, but there's so many times I'll forget. I fail. I'll do my best. God don't do that. If you need healing, you need providing, you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You need a charge of faith in your life.
Amen.
Go to Him and say, God, I need it.
Amen.
I need a real experience with you, God. I'm tired of hearing people talk about their experience with you and who they say that you are. I want to know who you are. I'm tired of seeing how they say this is a move of God, this is the peace that you can have. I'm tired of just hearing about what they say. I want that peace, God. I want you to rest in my life. I want to be the habitat of your spirit. I want to be used by you, God. I want to grow in your word. I want testimonies, God. Not because I want to be puffed up, because I want you to be magnified in my life.
Amen.
Oh, brother and sister, do not let this moment pass by. Do not allow this moment to pass by, because that little tug at your heart, many people don't even realize that's God knocking. That's God coming to you, and the reason God's doing that, He wants to talk to you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to provide for you. He wants to give you refilling of the Holy Ghost. He wants to be your God. But brother and sister, the only person that can really welcome Him in is you. And listen to me, whenever you welcome God into your life, you're not just saying, God, to be my Savior. You're saying, God, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the Lord of my life, the Lord of my harvest, the Lord of my children, the Lord of my family, the Lord of my finances, the Lord of everything. God, I want to give it all to you. I don't want to hold back anything, God. I want you to come into my heart and go through every door, every closet. And if there's anything in my life, God, please, Lord, burn it out today. Clean it, Lord. Be the Lord of my life. Give me a charge of faith this morning, Lord. I want to ask every head to be bowed. Just humble yourself before the Lord this morning. If there's anybody here this morning, say, Brother Daniel, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost today. I need a charge of faith today. I need a recommitment today. I want to make things right today. You can do it right in your seat. You're welcome to come forward, brother and sister. We'll pray it out together. But do not allow this moment to pass by you. This is your opportunity. This is your time. You say, God, I'm here to worship you. God will be faithful. God will meet your need. The reason you had that tug in your heart is because God's the one doing the pulling. God's doing the drawing. And the reason He's doing it, He's got something for you. But you got to come to Him. You got to say, God, here I am. I'm here to worship you, Lord. I'm here to praise you. I'm tired of fighting these battles myself, God. I need help, Lord. He He's here. We're going to open the altar to anybody that would like to come.
I ask you just be reverent before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you see this little soldier, Lord, and she wants to walk with you, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you that you be the God of her life today, Lord, afresh, Lord, that she could renew those vows before you, Lord, and say, Lord, here I am. Come through every door of my heart, Lord. Father, if there be anything in my life, Lord, that's amiss, God, forgive me for it. Lord, I want to lay it at your feet, Lord. Lord, your blood is worthy. We know that you don't even look at us, you look at the blood, Father. Lord, because the blood is worthy, we are worthy, Lord. That's the only way that we're going to make it is by your grace, Father. Lord, I ask you that she will come now to my little sister, Lord. Oh, God, and give her a refilling of the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. Lord, not looking for feelings, not looking for emotion, but looking for a burning in her heart, Lord. Lord, a resurrection of faith, Lord God. Lord, of seeing the promise, Lord. Seeing the mission that you've called her to, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, be the God of her life in every circumstance, Lord. We want to lay everything at your feet, Lord Jesus. Come now, Lord Jesus. Lord, come to this little soldier, Lord Jesus, and give her the strength to fight the battle, Father. Oh, God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, help her to raise her head up, Lord, high. Lord, keep her eyes on the promise, oh, God, through the things she's going through, Lord Jesus. Put every devil under her feet, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit her to you, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord Jesus.
Sister, he is here. casting all my cares on you. Guide us, Lord, throughout this week, this next week, Father. And God, I ask that you be with each heart in here today, Lord. Lord, touch everyone, Lord. Lord, have your hand over their homes, Lord, their jobs, Father. And God, I ask that you work every aspect of their life, Father. Lord, be with those that weren't here today, Father. I ask that you protect each one, give them traveling grace back, Lord. Lord, we just want to love you. We want to thank you, Father. And Lord, we give you the praise and honor, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you be with each heart. We thank you for the word and ask that you bless our ministry. And we just give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.